Welcome to the worst week yet. The least informed podcast on the left. It's a podcast where every week we toast marshmallows over the dumpster fire that is the news. I'm your host, Andrew Hillary, and I am joined by my longtime friend, most times co-host, the premature chicken chucker herself, Dee Dee Rose. What's up, Deanna?
Enough about me and my premature chicken chucking. Okay, I threw one chicken too soon.
Way too soon.
Way too soon. Enough about me. How are you?
Oh my gosh, I'm okay.
You're fucking lying. This is why I don't ask you.
Here's the thing. I was doing pretty bad until somebody asked me how I was doing, and then I was like, wait a minute, I am being seen by the world. This, maybe it's okay. Maybe I can go on.
Wait, speaking of being seen by the world, he is wearing a shirt that I have only just now realized features three cats flying through space on three corns of cob. Cobs of corn.
Look, I know what fashion is, and God damn it, it is my right to exercise.
Listen now, here, I might be a chicken chucker, but you're a cob catcher, and that's worse.
Fuck you, dude. Now, it's not just me and Deanna here. We are blessed today on the pod. I don't even know how to explain this to you, folks. We have not one, but two Aprils on the show right now. And I'm... April, welcome to the worst week yet. It's so nice to have you here.
If you weren't having the worst week yet, it's about to start.
Yeah. Buckle up.
Oh, yeah.
So we have two Aprils. As I said, we have BB Apes. We have Apes Gone Wild. It will probably be confusing at some point, but I am so happy to have you. First of all, Apes Gone Wild, welcome back to the show. It's been what, about a year since the live from the Chicago Airbnb living room show we recorded?
Yeah, that was a good show. And it's good to be back, especially here with April, you know, the both of us together. So it should be fun. I'm excited.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. April, BB Apes, this is your first time on the show. Have you ever done a podcast before?
Loosely.
Okay. I was not expecting anything but a yes or a no. And frankly, I'm no longer doing well.
I'm intrigued. But tell us about your loose podcast.
It was, I mean, 2 years ago. It was during, I think, the pandemic, like the height of it. I was drunk. I mean, it was like a regular, I guess it was a regular podcast.
Are you drunk right now?
No, unfortunately not.
The night is young. I've podcasted drunk twice, and it was a mistake. It was a much worse mistake the first time. The second time it was okay, but the first time I had to edit out. We recorded for about an hour and a half. The finished product was like 32 minutes. It was so terrible. We got into like three different fights. I remember one of them was about, what's that one lady who sells pans?
Rachel Ray?
No, she's a mess on Twitter. And she's married to John Legend. Who the fuck am I talking about?
Chrissy Teigen.
We got into a fight about Chrissy Teigen, and it was intense. Like
me?
No, this is my old show. I've done podcasts before, Deanna.
I just thought we had a fight I didn't remember, and we are inclined to fight about stupid shit.
It's rare, but it does happen. And we edit that out too, listeners. Those fights are for us, not you.
Those fights are on the Patreon episodes.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of Patreon, we are a listener-funded show. And before we get to the news, why don't we go ahead and take a moment to hear from our sponsors.
Patreon.
Folks, this is a listener-supported podcast. And, you know, if you want to hear more Worst Week Yet, there's a way to do that. And the best part is that it's not just me and Deanna. Most weeks, if not all weeks, we have a third guest in our bonus episodes by the name of Kennedy Cooper. Kennedy?
Yes.
Hello.
Hi, it's me, Ketamine Cooper.
Ketamine? Yes, every week, or most weeks, we get together and we talk about stuff. We talk about non-news related items. We just kind of, sometimes we're talking movies, sometimes we're making playlists. We're doing all sorts of stuff over there that is not necessarily related to current events and politics. So if you like hanging out with us, but you don't want to hear about all the sad stuff, you can head over to patreon.com.
You can hear different sad stuff, more personal sad stuff.
Okay, that is a fair point. So if you want to hear, if you want to mix up the sad sounds, go to patreon.com/worstweekyet. You can join for as little as $2.50 a month. But if you join giving $10 a month, that means you are an official sponsor of the show. You are a Pizza the Hut level patron. And that means we say your motherfucking names. So I want to say thank you to Chauncey Yonders, Zap Actions Downer, Andrea Humphrey, The Man in the West, Nan DeAngelis, Josh Troopin, Nick Adams, parentheses, Alpha Male, AJ from Baltimore, Idnex, Dragula 206, Brienne, and
NHL Squidward.
There it is. Patreon.com/worstweekyet. And we're back. Welcome back to the show. Okay. We've got a lot of news to cover. Are Yin's ready? I don't know if you've been paying attention, but this may have been. Oh, good. Good. Mm-mm. You've made the right choice.
Yeah.
This may have been the worst week yet. All right. I want to talk about on Sunday, there was a nationally televised Rihanna concert. And I think that's great. I think we should be doing more of this. Now, it was interrupted. People kept playing fucking games around that shit. But like, let's talk about the real show. Let's talk about Rihanna. Okay. Rihanna had announced before the Super Bowl performance that she was appearing with a special guest. And so that led to a lot of speculation, like who was she going to bring out to perform with? The special guest ended up being the baby she's pregnant with, which was, first of all, incredible bit. Second of all, I saw so many people, because she didn't announce that she was pregnant ahead of time, I saw so many people tweeting like, is she, I know I can't ask this, but like, is,
The amount of messages I got that day from my guy friends being like, is Rihanna pregnant? And I was like, I have no idea. We're not best friends. Like, I'm not keeping up with this, but I'll let you know.
I saw a lot of people that were like, I don't want to do a fat phobia. Like, they were like, I don't want to do a fat phobia, but
I don't want to.
What's up?
I don't want to ask if a woman's pregnant, but like, seriously. Is she?
Personally, I think Rihanna should be an example to us all. I mean, everywhere you look on the internet, you see white people doing gender reveals and they are botched left, right, and center. But this was a pregnancy reveal.
Yeah.
And she pulled it off flawlessly. Flawless execution on a pregnancy reveal. If you are not, reveals are canceled from here on out.
Yeah. Yeah. You are allowed to reveal anything about your baby, but you have to do it during the Super Bowl halftime show. I think that's a fair rule.
Challenge accepted.
Let's fucking go. So what else? Oh yeah, there was a bunch of commercials for Jesus during the Super Bowl. Did either of you see these commercials?
Oh, they were so bad.
This is a little unsettling.
I saw a couple. They were special.
Here's the thing. Christianity's been around for what, like 2000-ish years, something like that. If they're at the point now where they're like, we need to get some ads up. Like, I feel like it's kind of embarrassing. Like, Jesus has sold out at this point.
I mean, we know that the real place that you should be advertising Jesus is on giant billboards.
Yeah, tell me hell is real while I'm driving down the interstate. Don't fucking show me. It was very weird. Like, the one commercial was like just pictures from a bunch of protests that have happened in the last few years. And so there was just like literal Nazis screaming, and they were like, yeah, you've looked at all these people screaming about wanting minorities to die. Think about Jesus, though. Like, you should kind of attach your brand to something a little bit more positive, maybe there. My savior.
What I don't understand about those kind of commercials is like, is the ad just benefiting like Christianity as a whole? Like, where did they want you? Was there like a call to action, like go to this website or like a 1-800 number?
There was a website. hegetsus.com or .org or something. Here's the thing.
Wait.
Okay.
I am getting ads for that on Twitter, and I am not the target audience. I am not the target.
Yeah, no, this. So, okay. I don't, least informed podcast, I don't have the full story about this, but I know that one of the people attached to the He Gets Us Foundation or whatever is the Hobby Lobby guy. So like, this is coming from people who are trying to eliminate gay people from existing. But I did hear another thing, that one of the people that paid for, like, that had a lot of the money for this, basically was like kind of doing a thing where they needed to write off a bunch of stuff for taxes. So like this is all part of a money laundering scheme, which is like, honestly, using Jesus so that you don't have to pay taxes in a roundabout way. I think you're going to hell.
And isn't that what the church has been doing since like forever?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It's a tradition that's, I don't know, bad. But yeah, that's all I got to say about that. There was one more ramification from the big game that I do want to talk about. And that is a certain somebody was a little bit upset that his tweet about the Super Bowl didn't get as much love as he was hoping. I'm talking, of course, about enemy of the show, melting and then refrozen wax statue of a man, Elon Musk, who was very upset that Joe Biden's tweet about the Super Bowl got more likes than his. He apparently,
I didn't hear about this, but I believe it.
Apparently, yeah. Well, like, Elon Musk, he's so good at posting that, you know, he cries when the literal president's tweet does better than him, than his. So apparently what he did after the Super Bowl was he called in some Twitter engineers to change the algorithm to boost his and his alone's tweets more than anybody else's. So on like Monday or Tuesday, people started noticing that even if they don't follow Elon Musk, his tweets were in their feed like all over the place. And so he literally bought this fucking website that he wanted to get good at, but has never been good at. And then whenever he wasn't doing good at it, or was doing worse at it, he was like, can we make this so that everybody sees my tweets? Which, it's so embarrassing. I said this, it's such a bummer that he wants to be funny, because like the things that he does in earnest are completely unintentionally, like that is the funniest fucking shit I've ever heard.
Yeah, if this was a bit, like if he was like, I have billions of dollars and don't know what to do with it, I'm just gonna buy this app and then like act a mess, that would have been funny. But he just is unironically a mess.
Yeah. It's very,
like, looking up his astrology right now, because I'm really curious what kind of man needs that much attention. Like, he's already rich. Like, why need to be funny?
What are his placements?
Hold on.
We are 10 minutes and I've lost control of the show.
I feel like he definitely has to have some amount of Leo in there. Like, not like, I don't think Leo is his sign. I have no idea when his birthday is, but I feel like it's back there. Like, it's in like maybe the seventh house.
What, the houses? What are houses? You know what? We don't have time for
nope.
that.
Okay.
Nope.
I'm a little sad because he's a Cancer and I'm a Cancer. But he's a June Cancer. So I feel like.
Oh.
That's different.
He's also a man, which is,
yeah.
Man cancers are bad. Like, and if he also has a Cancer Moon or a Cancer Mars, bad news, Chief.
Yeah, it said he has a Virgo Moon, so I don't know what that means exactly. But I don't have a lot of Virgos in my life, and maybe that's for a reason.
Dan's Virgo.
I'm a Virgo.
I know that.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. There are so many reasons to not have someone like me in your life. I didn't feel offended at all. I was like, wow, I know exactly what you mean. I have been trying to get away from myself for fucking ever, dude.
Andrew, what's your sign?
I'm a Libra, but my birth certificate does not have the time I was born on it. And my aunt says it was in the middle of the afternoon. And my dad says it was in the middle of the night. And my mom, not around to tell me. So I have no idea what my rising sign is.
Yes.
And so I can't do a chart. So I am undateable. Nobody can do my chart. I'm just, yeah.
Is that,
we're going to have to call the hospital.
Yeah. We're going to have to pull up your birth record.
See, now I'm starting to get a little bit offended. You don't believe that I could be president, Deanna? You got to check my birth certificate. Are you doing birtherism?
There are so many reasons that I don't think you could be the president, and none of them have to do with your rising sign.
List three.
No, it will only hurt your feelings. We have so much news to talk about.
So shout out to Elon Musk. Maybe one day you'll figure out how to use this toll you bought.
What a fucking loser.
Do you think I would be a better president than Elon Musk, at least?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll take that then. Small victories.
Because if I was if I told Elon Musk that what he was doing was stupid and embarrassing, he would continue doing it. And if I told you that, you would at least think about it before you continued doing it.
I would do it. I would continue doing it, but I would feel guilty inside.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to talk about, we got to move on here. I want to talk about a crime wave that is sweeping across our nation. Now, over the last few years, we've seen increased reports of stolen catalytic converters, and it's happening in many big cities, many Democrat-controlled cities that they are losing control. They're letting the criminals out of jail. And, you know, this has been a faraway problem for me, but this week it became personal. Now, I'm not saying that my catalytic converter was stolen. What happened was the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile had its catalytic converter stolen. They went out to start the hot dog truck, and it wouldn't start because somebody stole the catalytic converter. This is an attack on America. This is an attack on freedom.
This is a hate crime.
This is. Here's the thing.
It's an attack on wieners.
It's. I have never in my life seen a news story that hurt me so much, that touched me in a way that, you know, I'm like, okay, if I was an Oscar Mayer wiener, wait, how's that song go?
I don't know. I'm trying to think of it, but the song that my brain is giving me is that I want a hippopotamus for Christmas song, and so the wrong song.
Wrong song.
ADHD.
I have
bad.
The baloney song.
Okay, that's
Oscar
what I was
Mayer
thinking.
Has a way with B-O-L-O-G-N-A.
Okay. So there is no hot dog song yet.
Wait, I think it's still baloney, but it's like my baloney has a first name. It's O-S-C-A-R, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's so many baloney songs. Why are there no hot dog songs?
I don't know, but in my mind it was like, I want to be a hot dog for Christmas. I don't know. You would sing that and mean it.
Here's the thing. I would not mean it. I don't want to be a hot dog for special occasions. I want to be a hot dog every day. I want to get used to my life inside the bun. You know what I'm saying?
You got to think outside the bun.
There's nowhere else I'd rather be, Deanna.
Let's move on.
All right. So this week we saw another contender step into the ring for the 2024 presidential election. That's right, folks. Nikki Haley, the traitor. The traitor. She has gone behind Donald Trump's back. She has stabbed him in the back. And she is now running to be the president. She did this fucking campaign video, which was embarrassing, you know, just like uplifting, empowering music in the background. She's talking about how, you know, the country isn't racist. Look, they let me run for president. And then she was like, I stood up to the Washington, blah, blah, blah. I did all this and I did it all in heels. Like, I don't see how people aren't embarrassed by this shit. She was like, the governor of South Carolina didn't do a great job. She was then Donald Trump's ambassador to the UN. Didn't really do much there. Then she left that job because Trump was getting a little too toxic, which I'll give her that. But now she is setting off on her own. And she had her first campaign event. She gave a speech in New Hampshire where she's leaning real into this like culture war stuff. In fact, she said at one point that Ron DeSantis's Don't Say Gay bill doesn't go far enough. She said children should not be talked to about gender at all. So what?
Wait,
following that logically, like, what the fuck do you mean? Like, you shouldn't say boys and girls? Like, you know, I know that there's like this like disconnect in a lot of conservatives' heads where like the shit that they say doesn't really add up, but like, what the fuck are you even trying to say at this point? Like,
well, if you're not talking about gender at all, then wouldn't we just use like they, them, like pronouns?
Right. I was like, hold on. Did she go so far right? Like, did she make three right turns and end up left? Like, what? Where we're just.
And they say that. That's like the circle. You become so conservative that you're back to like liberal or leftist.
All right. So, Comrade Nikki Haley, I guess maybe we.
no more genders.
They're an ally.
Abolish genders.
You heard it from Nikki Haley. Genders, we're done with them. The binary, throw it out. It's over.
No, I'm thinking it's like, if we can't have two genders, then nobody can have any. Like, they're taking the gender ball and going home, which, okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it is so reflective of a lack of just like understanding of the issue at hand, because it has the same vibe as people being like, I don't use pronouns. And it's like, do you know what a pronoun, do you understand how anything, never mind. Like, I feel like that's what's happening to her right now.
Also, there's been a few people. It was Ted Cruz, and then Roseanne recently did a special where they both said the phrase, my pronouns are kiss my ass. And so I've heard people now starting to refer to, like, anytime they're talking about Roseanne, they'll be like, yeah, Kiss said the other day. Like, it's like, okay, you want to play this game? I guess. I don't know. It's just calm the fuck down. Here's the thing. These motherfuckers, like, just let people live their lives. Like, it's all, like, you want liberty? Like, that's what it is. Just let nobody's fucking coming after you. Just calm down. Let people live. Fuck you.
Yeah, like, no one's trying to take your pronouns away or tell you that to change them. They just want to be able to use the ones that they want to use. I don't.
Yeah.
Exhausting.
There was, like, this, I want to say, it's probably like a conservative sweatshirt, and it's like, my pronouns are yeehaw, but it has like a, like an animal with a cowboy hat on it. And I was like, I would wear that. Like, it's really cute.
Yeah. Someone I follow on Twitter, like a trans person I follow on Twitter, did one of those autocomplete, like, type my pronouns are and let autocorrect expose you. And like, some of those were funny. Like, I was like, mm-hmm. If that was on a t-shirt, that would be funny. But like, Roseanne trying to do that as like that kind of like edgelord, I don't know. It sucks. She sucks.
Did you see the clip of her from her Fox News stand-up special? Or Fox Nation, excuse me.
Not
it's
Fox
so
Nation.
Bad. She's like, you want to know what a woman is? A woman is somebody who cleans your shit. Like, it's, she sounds like, I don't know. I really liked Roseanne when I was growing up, but she's just become like the angriest lady at the trailer park kind of energy. It's like fucking disturbing. She's also wearing like a jean jacket and jeans and has like blonde pigtails. Like, it's the fucking wildest shit
was
I've ever
she
seen.
She dressed as Britney Spears at that awards show.
She's like, dressed she's dressed up like a little kid pretending to be an old person or something, or an old kid pretending to be I don't know what the fuck she's doing, but it sucks.
It's also embarrassing. Is it more or less embarrassing than Elon Musk?
Here's the it's more embarrassing but less of a reach. Like, I feel like way more people have seen Elon's flopping and floundering than have seen Roseanne's clip of her being like, I never paid for shit. Elon's outbursts wouldn't make sense if you saw them happening in like a Walmart checkout line. Roseanne's would be like perfectly at place. You'd be like, okay, yeah, this fits here.
Yeah, there is no algorithm in Walmart.
It's the one place the machines can't get us. Speaking of Walmart, this unrelated to any news story, but the self-checkout machines at Walmart are getting like a little bit too concerned with whether or not you're stealing. I was scanning my items the other day, and it was like, up, it started blinking. It was like, this dude's trying to steal some stuff, but like, I hadn't even done that part yet. Like, I had scanned the thing, and the lady came over, and then it like showed a video of me scanning the thing and putting it in my bag, and she's like, did you buy that block of cheese? And I was like, yeah, dude, what the fuck?
I think they want to be like involved. Like, I think you need to be like, kiss them and whisper to them, like, I'm gonna steal this, and then they let you.
Okay.
I like to talk to them about something entirely unrelated and then steal while they're like telling me about their favorite Christmas ornament.
Yeah, that's a good move. That's a good move.
No, I've heard that works.
Allegedly.
Supposedly.
All right, I want to talk about our next story here. The senator from Pennsylvania, John Fetterman. Do you guys know about John Fetterman? He looks like a wrestler or something.
I recently heard this. I heard that him and his wife look like porn stars.
Oh, yeah, I could see that. His wife, very, very gorgeous lady.
She is. Giselle's so pretty.
He looks like he would be like the heel in like the WWE or whatever. Like he's just like a 7 foot tall, like hulking, like he's kind of like, he's not like a fat dude, but like, he's like a big dude kind of thing. And he's got a goatee and a shaved head. He looks ridiculous, but like kind of cool. And he beat Dr. Oz in the Pennsylvania Senate race. So that's good. So he this week announced that he was checking himself into the hospital to get care for clinical depression, which you don't usually see a sitting government official being like, I need help. And I think that's pretty cool, actually, that he did that.
Yeah, I love it. I love that he was like, now that I'm on this senator insurance, yeah. I can get all the mental health care I need.
Yeah. Yeah, that's...
You know what? I would also check myself into a hospital for help with my clinical depression if I was on senator insurance. But I'm not.
Wait a minute. This motherfucker got to go to the doctor and we don't?
Like, yeah, I'm mad.
I'm out. I'm no longer a fan of this movie. No, it is good.
No, I'm glad. I'm glad that he is being attended to. I am sad that he's having that struggle. I'm sad that just these few months in the Senate has eaten through what was left of his personal resolve to weather this world.
I think a lot of it, too, has to do with the fact that, like, he had a stroke during the campaign and has, like, lost a lot of his ability to communicate. And he said something about how he's, like, having a hard time, like, feeling like himself because he's not able to talk as well as he used to. So, yeah, you know, it's I think it's good to see that, like, people are... You know, even in these positions of power, like, no, I have a problem and I need help. And that's good. You know, I wonder if there's any other mentally ill people in the halls of power that, you know what, probably shouldn't speculate. Now, on from a story about clinical depression for one person, let's talk about the entire world. So in Western Antarctica this week, a submarine drove under a glacier and was like, oh, shit. Now, this glacier is called, I don't know if this is the official name or just the colloquial term, it's called the Doomsday Glacier. And apparently it's about to break off. Like the parts where it's like attached to land are corroding away. And this is, I don't know how to like picture this, but apparently this one chunk of ice is so big that if it breaks off the land and falls into the water, sea levels will rise 2 feet immediately. Whoops.
like sea level worldwide or
worldwide.
Is that a bad thing?
I think,
I mean, I think for places that don't want to be under 2 feet of water but are adjacent to the water seems troublesome.
This is bad. Yes. I don't know. I don't actually know what this means fully, but like there's a lot of, especially like smaller island nations in like the South Pacific, there's places I've heard that like if sea level rises just a few feet that these small islands will just kind of be wiped out. And even like when you think about how storm surges work, like most of the big cities built along coasts are able to handle a certain level. But if the starting point of that level is already 2 feet higher, it's like, oh, cool. Now everybody's going to die. What I like about this is that we hear these kind of news stories and then they're like, and there's nothing we can do. Like, oh, sick. Thanks for just don't tell us. Let it happen. It's going to happen. I think if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. So, like, don't tell us about it. Just let us get a surprise.
How old is the glacier?
You never ask a glacier their age.
I've not heard that one before, but I'll remember it for the future.
It sounds like she's only getting hotter, right?
Okay. Yeah, there you go. Sure,
is this a barely legal? Like, what's going on here?
I don't think that there are any young glaciers. I don't think anybody... I think
she's probably at least ice age old, if not older.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. I don't know how glaciers work, if I'm being fully honest. Well, actually, I do know how glaciers work, but I don't know how long it takes them to work. I went to a glacier last year. Thank you. Took a selfie next to it. It was cold. Saw a porpoise. That's all I've got about glaciers. Yeah, so I don't know.
Just a moment, your life had porpoise.
I don't know why you delivered that line in a way that it sounded like you were telling me I had terminal cancer, but okay. Let's move on. We've got one fun story here, and then we've got a couple that are not going to be fun. But let's talk about this fun story.
So the submarine went under the glacier.
Uh-huh.
Did the submarine go under the glacier on purpose to investigate the glacier?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I thought that there was also, like the glacier is going to break off, but it's because the submarine was trying to do a gender reveal and they botched it. Like, I didn't know what was happening.
An Ohio couple has broken the Doomsday Glacier in a botched gender reveal party. Here's the thing. I could see that as a headline. I think there was like four people that died in gender reveals last year or something. This is the greatest country on earth. In the history of the earth, in my opinion. Speaking of greatest country on earth.
That's why the glacier is going to do what she does.
Yeah, no, it's the ball's in the glacier's court now. She's a grown, independent glacier. And
she's doing it all in heels.
Let's go ahead and move on here. I want to talk about, as I said, greatest country on earth. This week in a town called Rising Star, Texas, a third grader went to the bathroom at school and found a gun just sitting in the stall. Now, the kid did probably the right thing, went and told an adult, told a teacher, and the teacher came in. The kid didn't even touch the gun. It was like, I don't think that's a good idea. Went and told the teacher. The teacher told the principal. The principal told the superintendent. And the superintendent said, oh, that's where I left my gun. So that's not a direct quote. Apparently, the superintendent of the school carries a gun around with him at school all day, and he went to the bathroom and like set his gun down and just forgot it there. And this is a direct quote from this fucking idiot. He said, quote, there was never a danger other than the obvious.
Where does he keep his gun that he had it?
I guess in like a holster or something, like took it off to go to the bathroom, but like how?
So not in his ass. Well, that's good.
But also.
he was not keistering the gun. Wait, keister?
Are you sure?
Word? Am I saying the right word?
Yeah. It sounded good.
Okay. Thank you. I'm a professional podcaster.
But I feel like if he had a holster, he wouldn't need to take it out. So he might just have that thing, like keep that thing on him. Like,
yeah,
you know,
did
like,
he leave the whole, did he leave like the whole holster and everything? But also like if I had a holster on, I mean, I'm not a gun person, but I can't imagine that I would want to pull down my pants. Actually, never mind. I was going to say I wouldn't want to pull down my pants and like go to the bathroom while still wearing the gun holster with the gun in it. But like a gun person fucking would.
I think.
Because gun people are always ready. There was only one guy in that stall. And he had to be a good guy with a gun.
If there's no visible bad guy with a gun and you have a gun, you are the bad guy. I'm sorry, Prince. Or,
Prince?
Superintendent. Prince. I was going to say principal, but this is the superintendent of the school.
I was like, leave Prince out of this.
It was not Prince, I promise. Yeah, so the good news is he got in no trouble because this is America. It's like, oops, no, you can just leave your gun around, kids. That's fine. Happens all the time.
I mean, it does happen all the time.
It really does, yeah.
You know.
Greatest country in the history of the universe.
April?
I thought this was a happy story.
I think it's fun. Here's the thing. If we have a story about a child, a gun, in a school, it is very rarely this kind of story. So I'm happy that nobody died or even got shot.
Nobody even got hurt.
Yeah. Nobody even got fired. Great. Okay.
This is really a story about how a poor man lost his gun.
And he found it again. See it as a happy ending.
This is a story about the inherent goodness of people, because that child, I mean, what a good Samaritan, what an honest person.
Well, he knew that whoever's gun that was, they were probably felt naked without it. And he's like, oh, somebody's probably so embarrassed. You know, they're walking around this elementary school without their gun. Like, gosh.
Here's what I don't understand about it is, like, how were you not then missing the gun?
Yeah.
Like, how do you not feel like, I don't know, like, I wear my wedding ring all the time. When I don't have my wedding ring on, even if I've, like, taken it off and intentionally have left it at home, I feel weird, like, because that's not how that hand feels. How do you miss a fucking gun?
Sometimes I look for my cell phone while it's in my hand. I'm like, where did I put it?
Yeah, one time my mom texted me to ask me, to say that she couldn't find her cell phone, and I was like, Louise...
We get it, Deanna. You have a mom. Okay, let's move on here.
Yeah, and she sends $10 a month to the Patreon.
Hell yeah.
Which you keep.
I split it between myself and Kennedy and a little bit to Gravy and some to Zoom.
And zero to me. So whose mom is she really?
Fair enough. Mine.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You learn something new
every
day.
My mom would be everyone's mom.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so we do have to talk about a story that is horrifying and terrible. This week, a 16-year-old trans girl named Brianna Gay was murdered in England in an apparent hate crime. This is obviously fucking terrible. I don't have a lot to offer about it, but I do, I just want to, you know, obviously it's awful to see. What I do want to talk about is that this is happening at the same time as the release of the new J.K. Rowling podcast, where she's talking about how there's a witch hunt for her, which I think is valuable to say, fuck this lady forever.
Yeah.
To infinity and beyond. Go fuck yourself.
Horrible.
This is the logical result of what happens whenever you can't shut the fuck up and just let trans people live, is that people are angry, they're gonna start killing them. And like, it happens all across the world, and especially in the English speaking world. Like, this has become more and more of a fucking boogeyman that people are like, oh, my life is fucked up, who's to blame? And then there's people that's like, I don't know, people pretend to be women, it's probably that. And you know, it's just, it's fucking disgusting. Like, this, you can't just keep talking about this being like a threat to people without people doing this kind of awful shit. So in response to this, there was a bunch of New York Times contributors, I think it was like 150 or so, like, writers and opinion columnists and stuff like that. They actually, like, got together and sent a letter to the New York Times saying that, like, hey, you know, we are seeing violence against trans people escalate. Like, we need to, the New York Times needs to, like, do a better job, because, like, in a lot of cases, they're, like, fueling this fire, letting these opinion pieces be printed that are, like, you know, just asking questions or whatever. But it's, like, clearly this is, like, fucking trying to justify this hateful fucking shit. In the New York Times, they did respond. The very next day, they printed an opinion piece titled "In Defense of J.K. Rowling." I hate the world.
I hate it. I hate it. And I hate that last fucking week when I was engaging on a post about that stupid fucking game, I was saying that literally, like, it's not about the game. It's about trans people and the way that trans people are fighting for their lives literally every day. And all of these, like, antagonistic literalists jumped on me and were like, how can you say that this game is causing trans people to fight for their lives? That's what the fight for your life is whether or not people play this game. And And it's such an egregious display of trying to avoid the point, because the point makes people uncomfortable. And the point is, like, we need to be changing our behaviors to protect trans people and to make sure that trans people are safe.
Yeah. And like, I don't even understand how it's like, there was a story earlier this month that I didn't, I missed whenever it was like first going around, but I just found it again. There was a, this happened in Chicago. There was like an attempted robbery where this dude kicked down the door to somebody's apartment and started shooting, and he killed a transgender girl and her mom. And the cops know who did this. They know who the suspect was, who the shooter was. And they arrested him and then let him go without charging him. And like, this story is confusing because like, the details are this dude was trying to do an attempted robbery, killed people, and he's out of, and he got let go with no charges, which does, I don't even understand. Like, it feels like there's something missing there, but like, I think the reality is that in the eyes of the law, like, it seems like the lives of trans people do not matter as far as like the mainstream is concerned. Like, when you hear a fucking 16-year-old is killed, like, just stop for a second and be like, what the fuck are we doing that is contributing to this? Like, how can we make this better? And it's, I don't know.
Yeah, the problem isn't that trans people need to go away. The problem is that your hating ass needs to go the fuck away.
Agreed, yeah. Nobody should be, you know, have their lives threatened for just fucking living them. They're not fucking hurting anybody. And I don't know. It's, I don't know. It's, I don't know what to do. I don't have any answers. I don't have any jokes, but I just, you know, I wanted to talk about it because it's demoralizing. But yeah, the best we can do is fucking keep fighting back against this shit, and also say, you know, fuck J.K. Rowling and fuck the New York Times.
And
I think
fuck
that's
Ron
important.
DeSantis and fuck his fascist Floridian agenda. And fuck the things that he's doing there, because that is the canary in the coal mine for the rest of the fucking country. Because we are seeing it now with like the AP African American studies classes. Like, he was the first one that was like, no, we can't do this. And when that was able to happen, then other states were like, well, that happened there, so we also can get away with doing that. And mm-hmm. I feel like that will also happen with the things that Ron DeSantis is doing with regard to like legislation around trans people in particular, but around the queer community in general.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a long list of people that I would like to say fuck you to, and I will continue doing so. Okay.
It is my hope that someday the list of our patrons is longer than the list of people I want to say fuck you to.
Holy shit. We're going to need a bigger Patreon. Wait, I was trying to do a Jaws joke. Okay, look, in addition to not having any jokes about this tragedy, I also have no jokes. Let's move on.
April. Help.
Help us. Do you guys know any jokes?
Not right now.
Okay. I want to move on to...
Wait, can I give one more sad opinion? Sorry, I always fucking do this to you.
You really do.
It's the A and the D and the H and the D, okay? Sorry. On the subject of J.K. Rowling's fucking ass, there is another Harry Potter movie coming out. It's Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, which is like based on that play that she wrote, which actually is very bad. And all three, like Rupert Grint and what's her fucking name and the dog walker, you know, the three of them. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
The three what?
The three people who star in the Harry Potter movie.
Okay.
The April's new. The dog walker. Yeah, we had it. Yeah. What's his fucking name? Daniel Radcliffe.
He walks dogs?
Yeah.
What the fuck? Go on.
Anyways, all three of them have spoken up and like said that like J.K. Rowling was like such an influence in their young life and they owe her whatever, but they are denouncing her and like cleaving themselves off from her because of this like transphobia. And guess whose fucking asses are going to be in this new movie? All three of them motherfuckers. So the other thing I want to say is if you want to stand with trans people, do it. Stand up, do it. But don't do it and then back out when it's directly beneficial to you, because that's why people fucking die.
Yep.
Yep.
All right. The list of people we need to say fuck you to just keeps on growing. All right. Let's talk about, as I said, there was another opinion piece that happened that came out this week that I think bears to some discussion here, especially on the show. This piece comes out of the Wall Street Journal, and the piece is titled "To Save Money, Maybe You Should Skip Breakfast." Here's the thing.
I usually skip breakfast to save time, but
I usually skip breakfast and smoke cigarettes. Like, I don't know if I'm saving any money
or time.
Well, no, I'm definitely losing time. 7 minutes for each one. So I'd call
saves money in the long run.
Yeah. Less retirement savings that I have to stack up. See? It's called economics, folks. Yeah, so I did not get to read this because Wall Street Journal has a paywall. I read the first paragraph and then it was like, give us a dollar a week to continue. I'm like, no, I already skipped breakfast. I'm also skipping reading the rest of this. Fuck you. But I don't know. I think what the article was saying was like, eat different foods because egg prices have gone up. So like, they weren't saying like, don't eat anything. They were saying like, oh, maybe like try like, eat an oat or something. Don't go for an egg. You can't afford eggs, you broke bitch. Like, I don't know exactly what the Wall Street Journal was trying to say, but because they are gatekeeping their information, I'm going to assume the worst. Guess what? Poor people. Don't pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Pull yourself up by your empty plates.
Stack the plates and then stand on top of them.
Yeah. See? Look. Yeah. Also, so much less dishes to do if you skip one of your three meals a day. Like, this is honestly, there are a lot of benefits to skipping
really
breakfast.
Because really what America needs right now, like what is really going to restore us as a population is people who don't want to be going to their jobs in person, driving through rush hour traffic and then arriving at their shitty office unbreakfasted and hangry to navigate the day. I think Americans showing up for work hangry is really going to take us in the right direction.
Yeah, I can see it working.
Right.
You look, none of the other things we've tried have helped. So I have a question. This is a bit of an age old debate. Where do you feel where do you land on the question of French toast, pancakes, or waffles?
Waffles.
I think.
Are we doing a fuck, marry, kill for the three?
Oh, I wasn't. I was.
Yeah,
saying,
let's do that.
Let's do that. Yeah.
All right. I'm marrying waffles, killing French toast, and fucking pancakes.
Fucking pancakes.
I'm marrying pancakes. Fucking French toast and killing waffles.
Okay.
And fucking waffles, that's the rib for her pleasure, right? I don't know.
I feel like the waffles have a lot of holes. Like, that could get confusing for me. Like, where are things supposed to go?
I think the holes make it better because, like, the butter sits really nicely in the syrup. Like, and it's, like, not as soggy as a pancake.
I'm going to marry waffles. I guess I'll fuck French toast and kill pancakes. I don't know. Here's the thing is that the fuck, marry, kill aspect of this did make it where we had longer answers, but it didn't actually really answer the question. the game is asking more questions than it's answering. Like, how do you fuck a pancake?
In all of its holes.
I was going to say sensually.
Ew.
Okay.
Yeah. So don't eat breakfast. Go to work.
I have some questions for the Wall Street Journal, though.
Okay.
Like, where does this come in on people who like to eat traditionally breakfast foods for dinner? Like, what do they feel like? What would they say about your breakfast of salmon and Brussels sprouts?
I did eat salmon and Brussels sprouts for breakfast. They would say,
that's way overpriced for a breakfast.
I feel like if the Wall Street Journal and I were having a conversation, the subject of breakfast would be the last thing to come up.
What's the first thing?
They would ask me, do you know what a finance is, you fucking idiot? And I would be like, not really.
I thought you were just going to say, do you know the Muffin Man?
Me too. I thought that too.
Like, the Muffin Man is an excellent you know what? Wall Street Journal is just trying to put the Muffin Man out of business. And that's really what's going on here. The small-time Muffin Man is an underserved American hero.
Supposedly, the Muffin Man is actually the name of a murderer in England.
But if it's England, then muffins could mean, like, I don't know, like different pastries. Because they call cookies biscuits. What the fuck is a muffin in England?
You don't want to know.
I don't. But I do want to be murdered. Let's move on. This week... Oh, okay. Let's see here. This week, enemy of the show, Matt Gaetz, congressman out of, I think, Florida? I don't fucking know. He announced that the Department of Justice has ended their investigation into his alleged sex trafficking and will not be pursuing charges. If you're not familiar with Matt Gaetz' story, he verifiably took a teenage girl across state lines to have sex. And he has been cleared of sex trafficking charges. So, greatest country on earth.
Grossest
country. See, I've been reading it wrong the whole time.
Most gross, yeah.
Most grossed.
The grossest with the mostest.
Yeah, this is a bummer. You know, Matt Gaetz is one of the people that likes to call Democrats pedophiles while he's, you know, been engaging in sex with teenagers. And, yeah, and he's getting away with it. And we live in the worst place.
We live in the worst place. I also hate this story because I think that them charging him or investigating him for sex trafficking, like, that is a way trumped up charge for what he did. Not that he shouldn't be charged with a crime and not that he shouldn't be held accountable for that. But, like, I don't, like, sex trafficking, I don't think aligns with exactly what he did. And so I feel like they attached this, like, outsized charge.
Oh, okay. I see. Like, so whenever they charge somebody with murder one, because it's harder to prove than, like, the murder two or whatever.
Yeah.
Those motherfuckers.
Like when they, like, people think it's great if a cop does get charged for, like, a full, like, high tier murder crime, but it's actually just because, like, that's the one that the cop is most likely to get away with. So it's like this is what I hate about this, that, like, Matt Gaetz, they called it sex trafficking when, like, it could have been kidnapping. It could have been rape.
Yeah.
And those are two also very serious charges. But the thing is that what he did was actually kidnapping and actually rape. So if they charged him with those things, he would actually have had to be held accountable because he did those crimes. But charging him with sex trafficking.
I see. Yeah. God damn. I hate it here.
Yeah.
We keep repeating that line. I hate it here. It's not a us problem. It's a U.S. problem. How's that sound?
Okay. Amen.
Yeah, really.
Preach.
Like, I talk about this with some of my clients who work in the mental health field. They're like, at a certain point, there's not anything that I can do as a therapist that, like, to make people feel good in a world that is so clearly going bad. Like, there is no... And I think that about myself. Like, one of the things that led to me, like, finally agreeing to take medications for, like, an antidepressant medication was, like, I could do therapy till I'm blue in the face, but, like, something has to make all of this palatable to me, because there's no, like, dialectical, behavioral, no therapeutic modality that makes dealing with any of this all right.
Lobotomies.
I would love to get
one at Claire's.
I want to get a lobotomy for Christmas.
The Oscar Mayer lobotomy mobile. Let's go. Let's fucking go. Okay.
Catalytic convert me into a zombie. A vegetable.
Hell yeah. All right, I want to talk about our next story here. We're going to talk about how, once again, it turns out the Democrats are soft on crime. This week, New York City officials announced that they are ending their attempts to recapture an escaped inmate. Can you believe this? They're just going to let the inmate go. I for one, am shocked. No, you know what? I'm not shocked that the Democrats have just let these escapees run free. Now, or I guess I should say fly free. The escapee in question here is a Eurasian eagle owl named Flacco. and this owl broke out of its cage on February 2nd and in the Central Park Zoo. And it has just been like flying around Central Park for the last month, just like hanging out. People keep seeing it. They've tried to catch it like 3 or 4 times. And every time it just slightly evades their attempts. And so they came out and announced, they're like, fuck it. He belongs to the streets now. Like,
I hate that the zookeepers at the Central Park Zoo tried harder to catch this bird than the police tried to catch that man that did the attempted robbery and then murdered a trans girl in her home in Chicago. And once again, I hate it here.
I was having so much fun talking about an owl, and then now I'm not anymore. I agree with you, Deanna. But for the record, I am Team Flacco.
Yeah, free that bird. Fly free as a bird. Didn't somebody, Lynyrd Skynyrd, wrote a song about that? Is that what that was about?
Free Bird was a premonition, yes.
As foretold.
As foretold in that long-ass song. So yeah, so if you're ever in Central Park, go look for Flacco the Owl. He's very good. He's a good little bird. He's a nice-looking guy.
Sorry, I had to make it sad.
Do you think they'll give him like a friend, you know, like repopulate the owls just in Central Park so that there's like multiple?
Here's the thing. You got to watch, because you never know like how many owls is too much. Like you start with 2 owls and then what, you come back 6 years later and there's 470 million owls. I don't know how owls grow exponentially.
Yeah, I foresee.
Look, there's a lot of rats in New York City. I'm pretty sure owls eat rats. So, like, the numbers could just explode, right? Is that how breeding habits of owls work?
Yeah, this solves the rat issue.
But then there's an owl issue. Like,
I feel like
it sounds like an issue.
I feel like an owl is gonna like poop on someone, and that person is gonna pull a gun and try to shoot the owl and accidentally shoot a jogger. And that's how this would all end up. Go home, Flacco.
Bye, home.
Flacco, you're welcome over anytime you want. In fact, if you want to come and co-host this podcast, be my guest.
You don't have to go home to there. You can go to somewhere else. Just a new home. Not Central Park. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
I don't know if Finns are... here's the thing. You very well may be right. I think Flacco deserves, he successfully escaped from a zoo, which very few animals can say that. He deserves to get some owl pussy. But I...
A wussy.
But there's definitely a limit to how many owls. I feel like once you get to the point of there are now too many owls, then you might have some regrets. I think, I don't know. Is there an owl limit?
I think he should have a friend, you know?
Yeah. And you're right. You're right. I feel bad. He's just like, he's got the whole park to himself, but like, you know, you can only have so much fun as a solo owl.
But like, what are you supposed to do? Like, what if they let out another owl and then like, there's no vibe. So
why would you even go to the zoo anymore?
Right. But like, if they let out another owl and there's no vibe, then it's like Flacco doesn't have a friend and this other owl doesn't have a friend. So then what, are they going to let out 2 more owls? We're back to owl math.
Owl wars.
Yeah. I think the multiplication of owls.
Ooh, maybe we give the owl a different kind of friend.
Ooh, maybe we give him a funny little hat. I don't know if it would help, but I'd like to see it. If I'm being honest, I'd really like to see it.
Give the owl a mirror.
What?
So that it thinks it's a friend, but it can't fuck it because it won't populate it itself.
Mirrors are good birth control. I feel like every time I look at one, I'm like, I could never reproduce. So you're right. I've lost the plot. Go, Flacco. Glad to have you out in the world. Best of luck. Okay, we need to talk about. There's a couple of updates on the recent spate of we're being invaded by UFOs. Just a couple quick updates. First of all, the United States this week announced that they are giving up looking for the wreckage of whatever they shot down in the two things where there was one in Alaska and one over Lake Huron where they shot down a UFO. They're just giving up. They're like, I don't know what happened to it. I don't know what it was. It might have been hexagonal shaped. We give up. So that's cool.
I support you.
They will remain unidentified forever. And
is this did they find them? In my mind, they found them and identified them, and either it was embarrassing,
ooh,
or it was troubling, but not in the way they want us to be troubled.
It actually was aliens. They're like, oh, nope, we didn't see anything. I don't know what
didn't see shit, can't find a fucking thing. Maybe they're like, you know, people keep talking about the ocean being full of garbage and how that's a problem. But if the glacier falls, then we're going to have 2 more feet of ocean. So the balloon
that's more
can
room
just,
for garbage.
More room for the balloon. Yeah.
We're always finding the silver linings here on Worst Week Yet.
Yeah, and then we'll have to fill up the ocean with owl carcasses, and we're back.
The other update that I have is this week, another United States official told ABC News that the Chinese spy balloon that we shot down, it was the first of these UFOs, or the first of these things that we shot down for no fucking reason. This U.S. official told ABC News that they had tracked that specific balloon from launch in China. They had tracked it the whole time. They were watching it the whole time. And as a result, they did believe that this probably was a unintentional drifting off of course, is what they said, what this official told ABC News. That story came out on like Thursday. They were basically like, actually, not only was this probably unintentional on China's part, but we totally knew about it the whole time. Then another U.S. official came out with another story that was like, no, this meant to go to Hawaii, but it accidentally came through Alaska. Like, it was unintentional that it covered this part of America, but they were still totally trying to spy on us. Also, yeah, totally, that's it.
How official are these officials? Because this all seems pretty unofficial to me. Like,
I don't know the answer, but I'm going to guess this is... Here's the thing. I don't normally blindly say the U.S. is lying and China is telling the truth. I try to be more skeptical, even though the United States lies a lot, and so does China. Like, I get that. In this case, from the beginning, China has said, it's a fucking weather balloon. What are you doing? You're freaking out over nothing. And the United States has said, you're trying to look at us from a balloon! And I feel like I'm still with China on this one. Like, there's no way that the balloon would have been in any way a better spying tool than satellites and cell phones and shit. Like, they don't need the fucking balloon. You can look
That's
at shit.
That's what they want you to think. That's what they want you to think.
You can get a real good picture of something from space, from a satellite. And I know this because the United States does it to China all the time.
I know this because I can go on Google and see stuff.
Yeah. I can pull up Google Maps right now and look at any city in China. And I think. I don't know. I can't remember. But yeah, it's good that we finally got some clarity, even though the clarifying statements contradict each other. Thank you, Joe Biden.
That's the clarity that we as Americans deserve, I think. Like, that's the clarity we've earned for ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah, we did it, folks. All right. So we got a couple more things here. Just to give another update on the train derailment in East Palestine, Ohio. This week, Pete Buttigieg, noted Secretary of Transportation, aka the person in charge of the fucking railroads. 10 full days after this train derailed, Pete Buttigieg issued a statement. 10 days after. And the statement began with the words, "We continue to be concerned about the impacts." Like, this motherfucker, the first thing that he said 10 days after was, we continue to be concerned. You were never concerned. Like, you didn't say shit for more than a week.
Well, okay, like a business week. Yeah, 2 business weeks. That's long.
It's bad.
That's
real bad.
That's not even a calendar week. That's 2 business weeks.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Bad news, Chief.
Yeah, the EPA came out and said that they were like, oh, another thing that Pete Buttigieg said, he was getting like interviewed about this on some news show. And I think he was trying to downplay the East Palestine, Ohio derailment. And what he said was, you know, there are like 1,000 train derailments in this country every year. Not the flex that I think he was going for. This is only one of like 1,000 train derailments. Calm down.
I mean, here's the thing. Maybe it took him 10 days to respond to this one because trains just keep derailing and he can't keep up.
As the host of a podcast that is quite frequently off the rails, I understand. But that does not excuse it because I am not the Secretary of Transportation. You know what, Pete? Host a podcast if you want a real fucking challenge, okay? Oh, God, that would be really bad, actually.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to see him on a podcast or hear him.
We did, like a year ago, we did a bonus episode where me and my roommates watched the Mayor Pete documentary that was like, he clearly was like documenting his run for president thinking that he was going to win. And so, like, it's real embarrassing and cringe. Like, he set up the camera to go on a date with his husband. It's like this obviously staged ice cream date with the man he's married to is so embarrassing. Mayor Pete sucks, dude.
The movie and the person.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Not a fan. Not a fan. So as I was getting to the EPA said this week that they will get to the bottom of what caused the train derailment and promise that the Biden administration will hold Norfolk Southern responsible. Scale 1 to 10, how likely do you think that there will be any repercussions for this company?
None, because they said they're going to hold them responsible, not accountable. And those aren't the same thing.
I didn't think about it like that.
Yeah. The loophole is built in. We'll hold them responsible. We'll say it's their fault. Are we going to make them accountable for that fault? Fuck no, probably not.
Now, I will say, I think, you know, aside from obviously like the videos and posts we've seen with like dead fish in rivers and like all these chemicals just like hanging out, I think one of the most concerning things is because it appears at the very least the Democrats, Joe Biden and Pete Buttigieg are trying to downplay the severity of this, you know, because they just did that fucking deal and supported the train companies. I don't know exactly what their thinking is, but for whatever reason, they seem to not be taking this very seriously. And what this has done, it has allowed Republicans to step in and use this as evidence in their arguments. Tucker Carlson basically said something like Joe Biden hasn't been taking this seriously because he doesn't care about a town full of white people. Now, this is obviously very disingenuous.
But it works. Wow. That's a wild turn. That's a Mr. Toad's wild ride.
But this
I can't.
Is the thing is that like I know I say this kind of shit all the time, but like when the Democrats don't do anything to help, it allows Republicans to step in and be like, look, they don't care about you. And the Republicans don't either, but they're also not wrong. Like, it's this fucked up thing that nobody wants to help anyone. And only one side acknowledges that. Like, it's like, it's just leaving the door so fucking wide open for fascism to walk through. Just because you don't want to have a blemish on your record or something. Like, it's really scary.
Right. Also, just acting like something didn't happen doesn't mean it didn't fucking happen.
Or doesn't it?
if a train derails in Ohio and the only people who see it are a town full of white people, did the train even derail in Ohio?
That's the age old question.
Yeah. It's
Ohio's
a real trolley
real,
problem.
So I don't know. What was your favorite? What was your favorite train derailment of the week? Because I feel like
there was one near Detroit. There was another one, I think, in Texas.
One in one of the Carolinas.
Oh man.
Another one in Ohio.
Geez. See, Pete Buttigieg does have a hard job. He's also not even doing it, and he's bad at it. But many derailments.
Wow, philosophical one, that the question.
The trolley problem?
That one, yes.
Yeah. Which, if you could pull a lever and kill a town full of white people, never mind. Pete Buttigieg is just stuck in Psych 101. He can't, maybe we're being too harsh on him. Okay, our final story is kind of, I think this is a good way to like sum up an amalgamation of why we hate it here. I don't want to speak for Ian's. I know Deanna and I hate it here.
Do you also hate it here?
Yes.
Okay.
Just a little bit. I forget that they can't see me. So
I was like, both of these people responded with a head shake. Like, I was like, should I narrate that? Like, should I tell the listeners?
I don't want rumors to spread that I'm like,
that you like it here. You're not pro here. That's all I needed to.
Neither April's are positive about here.
Here,
America.
I think I like listened to that question. I was like, wow, that's kind of deep. Like, I do hate it here.
It's not ideal.
Metaphorically, physically. Yeah.
Yes.
So I think this story kind of sums up just all the ways in which this just isn't working out great. As far as a country goes. So this week, a large United States sanitation company, they have been fined $1.5 million.
Not enough.
Because they hired over 100 kids to clean a meatpacking plant. Some of these kids were as young as 13 years old. And many of them suffered injuries from this dangerous work. Like, they're cleaning these giant blades. A couple of them got burned with these like super harmful chemicals. There was
hazardous waste. It's not just in your water, it's in your children.
So this company was like blatantly breaking these labor laws. Like I said, over 100 people underage were doing this kind of work. Children are not allowed to do that kind of work. Some of these kids were so young, they're not even allowed to work. And the company is getting a fine. Now, I think if there was any semblance of justice in the world, the person who owns this company should be arrested. He used little kids to do dangerous work, and some of them got severely injured with injuries that might like linger for the rest of their lives. And he has to pay a fine, or his company has to pay a fine, but he does not go to jail. And I think people need to start going to jail. Like, I'm not pro jail and prisons, but like, if we're gonna have them, this is the kind of people that should be fucking in there. Is this dude risked the lives of children so that he wouldn't have to fucking pay higher paid adult workers? And the only repercussion is he has to pay a fucking fine, which comes out of the company and can be written off for taxes. I fucking hate it here.
I don't see the individuals not suing him, though.
But, like, the money wouldn't come out of his pocket. It would come out of the company's. Like, it doesn't go to be the individual. Like, and this is the thing. Like, with a lot of these stories, like, the person responsible should be the one that gets in trouble. It shouldn't be a fine. Like, whenever we had the 2008 financial collapse, we should have put some fucking bankers in jail. They did this. They did this knowingly, did crimes, and their companies faced fines, but they didn't get in trouble. The Norfolk Southern, the CEO of the rail company, specifically made unsafe conditions for the trains because he wanted to cut down on costs, and people are facing, you know, we'll have to see, but like this could potentially be very deadly for an entire town. This dude should be under arrest. They'll have to pay a fine, but it'll be like, you know, 1 or 2% of their profits that then they can write off, and but barely a drop in the bucket. You wouldn't even fucking notice it. Like,
and also that $1.5 million fine, like, that goes to who? Because that's not restitution for these people. Like, it's not restitution for these children. If you want to talk about somebody like trafficking children.
Yeah.
Also, I think this really speaks to like a level of destitution in the, like, just in the American family that, like, I mean, I definitely had a job when I was like 14, 15, but it was like a very casual, low key, very easy job. Like the fact that people are like, yes, I'm going to send my child off to work at the fucking meat packing plant. I'm not saying it's not an indicator of bad parenting. I'm not pointing the finger at these parents. It is very reflective of the situation that people are finding themselves in. And it's people like that fucking guy who is responsible but not accountable yet again, who create these conditions. It's so fucked.
Yeah.
Very fucked.
Isn't it crazy that these people aren't going to go to jail, but we have people who are in jail for drugs that are now legal?
Sure is, April. Great point. Yeah, you know?
Fucking hate it here.
Well, the real qualifier for qualified immunity is actually just money, so.
Yep. See, if you're going to do those crimes, maybe you should have become a billionaire first. Thank you. I rest my case. Your Honor?
Because even if those people, like, even if the families of those kids wanted to sue, whether they sued the company or sued him as an individual, that takes a huge amount of resources.
Yeah, and if you're sending your 13-year-old to work, you probably don't have money for lawyers.
Especially not to fight against the type of, like, corporate litigators that their entirety of their job is basically making the runaround.
Yeah. Here's what we should do. We should get a female friend for Flacco, the owl. I'm back on board. Now I do want there to be more owls. In fact, I want there to be thousands of owls. And then I think that we should sick them on the wealthy. I think Flacco is a comrade, and if we let him build up his owl army, he will help us eat the rich fucking literally. And that's the only hope we've got.
Maybe. Flacco's a little bit giving libertarian vibes, though.
But he's...
like,
Why didn't
Flacco go back for the homies? Like, he was out. He got out, and he didn't go back...
Look, they're not. If he goes back in, they're gonna seal up the hole. He knows. He would go back if he could. He can't. Also, I don't know if there was another owl in there with him. I assume that if one owl gets out, the other one isn't gonna just be like, "Damn, dude, all right, bye."
Maybe that other owl is scared. Okay, maybe that other owl doesn't want to give up its health insurance. Maybe that other owl is facing systemic pressures that make flying out through the hole in the owl house scarier for it. Like, you know.
Look, there's a lot of unanswered questions, but at least we all know which breakfast carb we'd fuck. April, thank you again for joining us. This has been a lot of fun. It was very nice hanging out with Jens. Where would you like people to find you?
Twitter. We're both on Twitter. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. What is your at? Where? Tell people where they can find you, I guess is the better way to say that.
Okay. @BB_apes.
Hell yeah.
And then I'm at Apes Gone Wild with 2 eyes.
Yeah. So you can see me when I'm atting you. What? It's been a pleasure having you. It's Deanna. How about you, buddy? Where would you like people to find you?
You can find me on Elon Musk's Hellscape app @DDD Deanna. That's 4Ds, E-A-N-N-A. I tweet sad stuff and funny stuff and video game stuff. And yeah, I'm there.
Hell yeah. And of course, you can find me at Andrew Hillary US. You can follow the show at Worst Week Yet. You can support the show by going to patreon.com/worstweekyet. You can send us emails to worstweekyet@gmail.com. And more important than all of that, tune again next week for more bad news.